are blessed to be a blessing. When God creates his family through Abraham, this is the key thing that he tells Abraham. Genesis 12:2. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. So for each of us, our love for God should make us a blessing to the others in our sphere. Our love for God should make me a blessing to my children. Our love for God should make me a blessing to my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law should be glad to have a Christian daughter-in-law. That somehow my love of God covers all the multitude of things we have going on between us. That my love of God should affect my relationship with my parents and then especially within the household of God, that my love of God should affect you, my church family, that you should be like family to me, that I should, when you find out that something's happening, you let us know, that we show up. Sometimes, though, there's a real breakdown that happens of people don't let people know their needs. Yes. And so I also want to say part of family is using your words. Part of family is saying, I have a need, can you help? So I just want to encourage us all to also use our words and let others be family for us. Let others meet us when we have a need. Interestingly, though, my love for God will not make these people that I'm to be a blessing to in all of my spheres always easy. It won't make them always easy to love or easy to bless. There will be great challenges along the way, and I will not always be easy to love, and I will not always be easy to bless. I am the problem often, and to be all in with me, it's going to get messy. So, there is such beauty in being all in with people. There is such beauty. I will say that I don't know that I would have, when I was younger, had the same, love of the beauty of mess. But somehow, in my marriage, I'm like, okay, it's actually, more amazing that we love each other when we're not very lovely. Mm-hmm. That's actually somehow more deep. And my friends, there's something so deep and beautiful about being loved when you're not lovely, and being blessed when you're difficult. Now, then, of course, doesn't mean I should try to be difficult. But there is a beauty in family that can still meet us in our mess and in where we are at. At church on Sunday, this person didn't have any idea we were talking about family, but they were telling a group of us that sometimes they marvel at the people that God has brought into their life, that are truly friends, but that they wouldn't have met or wouldn't have known kind of apart from church. And he said, God really is the main character. Mm-hmm. And I loved that. I thought, yes, God is the main character of our family. He's the patriarch. He's the father. And it changes how we interact with each other. Because God is the main character, the room of people I want in my family is bigger. Because God is the main character, it's not about my own gain. It's not supposed to be about selfish gain. It's supposed to be about loving and serving and bringing glory to God. Because God is the main character, we actually are sisters. We are family. We do want to work good for all. And yet I also think that we have modeled in the disciples, we have modeled in many different things, that it is also good to have a closer group of people that you are more intentional with. And so my question for you is, are you all in with relationships? with all the caveats that some relationships you should not be all in on. Some relationships, that's not what you should be. But with your church sisters, are you all in? With your family, are you all in? You should be. There's so much beauty and gift if you would be. God is. To become more like Christ is to become more committed to his people. To become more like Christ is to become more committed even when someone is messy. To love them where they are at. When things get messy, can I still be here? Knowing that we're deeply interwoven. In some of my friendships, we talk about that if we've never had anything hard, we probably aren't that good friends. If we've never had to kind of like have a conversation that's like a little tricky, if it's all pretty, we're probably not that close. So, do you have friendships and relationships where it's a little tricky sometimes, where it is like I need to call you and tell you I'm sorry that I said that. I need to call you and say, hey, did you mean that? I'm not sure I understood. Like, that hurt my feelings, maybe. Or, you know, whatever it is, a spectrum of things, and personality fits into that, you know, as well. But overall, do you have relationships close enough that they're messy? Is a good test of if, because God's relationships with us are messy because of us, because we're in them. And if you run from mess, that is very human. Very human. And yet, it will keep you more isolated. It will keep you more alone. And if you hide your own mess, it will keep you isolated. It will keep you less known. And I distinctly remember in my pre-kids, I don't know if the contrast, pre-kids and whatever, I'm a recovering hider. I was very good at hiding. And I was very good at people thinking very highly of me, but not really knowing me. And I'd be in accountability groups, and I still wouldn't be very honest. And I'd be, you know what I mean? I was doing all the things, but like totally hiding. And for whatever reason, having kids helped me to break free of that, and some friendships helped me to break free of that. And so us not using our words can keep us isolated, and us hiding can keep us isolated. And so I think the intention of knowing that family is meant to be messy, my friends should have to, it's a part of the friendship deal that like sometimes it's not clean, that sometimes it's messy. So I think I just want to set for you the vision of family as you actually show up with your mess. And you let your people show up with their mess. And when they show up with their mess, there is love and there is acceptance and there is truth and there is beauty. Actually loving each other where they are at. But guess what that takes? Bravery. Because we are professional hiders. We're like, and I love God's kindness to that. When Adam and Eve were hiding, what did he do? He got them some figs. He's like, okay, like, I get it. Like, you need some figs still. But he still called them out. But like, so like, you get to have, like, you know, like, it's a process. It's a step. It takes time. God sees that and he's not like, be vulnerable now. He'll be like, take one step. Take one risk. And people will, and this is where it gets so complicated, because guess what? You'll be vulnerable, and then someone will go stupid, tell someone else, and you're like, I knew I shouldn't have done that, or whatever it is. And so it is also meeting people where they are at and knowing and learning over time to grow in vulnerability, and to know that people will disappoint you and you will disappoint others. And somehow that's actually the beauty. The beauty is not that you don't know me well enough that I never disappoint you. The beauty is not that I don't know you well enough that you never disappoint me. The beauty is that we're family and we can work through those disappointments. So if you are one sitting here today and your relationships at church are not as deep as you want, you are not alone. That is very common. And yet God would call us and draw us to more, to better, to realer, to deeper. And yes, as I said, I was really good at this for a long time. And I was really lonely. I had so many friends, and I was so lonely. And somehow a shift of just being willing to actually be vulnerable. And then when you feel like you're crazy and your friend goes, I'm crazy like that too. And you're like, oh, I'm not alone. letting people help you to know you're not alone has been the biggest gift in my life that my friends have given me. If there's something like, what do my friends do for me? They help me know I'm not crazy, or I am crazy, but we're crazy. We're all crazy. We're all together. And so I just will tell you, as someone who was very lonely for years, there is better. There is more. But it takes time and effort and work and revealing of yourself and forgiveness. Next week we're going to talk about forgiveness, and like kind of like an essential element of relationship is forgiveness. And so just want to encourage you that it, for me in my instance, it was worth it. And it still takes time and energy. There will still be deep, deep wounds that happen that have to be worked through. But there is beauty in that too. So maybe for you, the call today is to continue to push into relationships. Or perhaps for you, as you studied, it was the spiritual mothering that stood out to you. Many of you know that my mom died in a car accident when I was 6. And one of the things, I grieved at different stages of life, but when I had kids, I like grieved in like this whole new way. And I was like, this is what a mom does. This is how much a mom loves you. Like, this is like the sacrifice. Like, I lost this. I lost the person who was what I would do for my kids. And I grieved it in this whole new way. And so, as you think of spiritual mothering, I think we can get stuck in our head that it's about what we say. And I think I would tell you that just as what the things that we talked about, it is much more about the mundane. It is much more about the things, the way we enter into their life, the way we are willing to show up. And I included some different verses for you as well. It's interesting to me that with the things that the women are to teach are words of kindness and words of loving your husband and children. It's not specific parenting advice. It's not, I mean, not if you're being asked, that can be different. But I'm saying, like, the focus of what they're teaching is much more on, like, kindness, love. And so, I think in spiritual mothering, we can get bogged down in the, in some of the advice giving and receiving complications. And so, my suggestion is to just focus on words of kindness and words of encouragement in love, and not on necessarily specific details if you are considering spiritually mothering. And these verses of the sharing of your life, 1 Thessalonians 2:7-8. We were gentle among you like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And so, there is something about having someone in your home for a meal, or going to coffee, or going to lunch. To teach loving their husband and children. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is to good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children. This focus on love, kindness. To comfort, Isaiah 66:13. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. So thinking of comforting others as part of this mothering role. And as Jesus set the example with humility, John 13:14-15, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. And Galatians 5:13, serve one another humbly in love. So spiritual mothering can be very intimidating, the idea of wanting to take it on. And yet I think as you see that it is about the showing up, the being present, the words of love, encouragement, kindness, those are the things that God would encourage you towards. Okay, so I would remind us today that it is not good for us to be alone, that we need one another, that you are needed in other people's lives. Choosing to stay isolated is a choice for yourself, but you're also making a choice for the people you're then not being in relationship with. Like, if I just choose to stay isolated, then there's a group of ladies who I'm not being a good friend to who I could be. So it's a choice that you're making. It's keeping yourself from blessing others and the mutual blessing of connected relationship. So today, may the Lord draw us out to fight our tendencies to hide and fight our tendencies to isolate and move towards our sisters in Christ. Okay, let's go. Heavenly Father, thank you for my sisters. Thank you for my family. Lord, thank you that you draw us towards you, and in drawing us towards you, you draw us towards one another. Lord, would you do that today? Would you make us brave? Lord, would you make us vulnerable? Would you make us see beauty in the mess, in our own mess and in others? In Jesus' name, amen.